Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 4. In the last edition of SNU, I talked about constipation, fiber, and the art of pooping, and how important is that? Constipation is defined as having a bowel movement fewer than 3 times per week, if you can imagine that. With constipation, stools are usually hard, dry, small in size, and difficult to eliminate. Some people who are constipated find it painful to have a bowel movement and often experience straining, bloating, and the sensation of a full bowel. Constipation is a symptom, not a disease, although chronic constipation can lead to multiple forms of disease. Almost everyone experiences constipation at some point in their life, and a poor diet typically is the cause. Most constipation is temporary and not serious. Understanding its causes, prevention, and treatment will often help most people find relief. You know, the things that cause it, a lack of dietary fiber, a lack of physical activity, the use of numerous medications, milk consumption, cheese, dairy products, that seems to be connected. Changes in life. I've seen a lot of people, especially women, when they travel, when they fly, when they change their bedrooms and live in and out of hotels, they get constipated. So there's definitely an emotional component. There's a neurophysiological component to this. So stress can really shut things down inside. Laxative abuse. Abusing these things can lead to chronic constipation. And of course, dehydration and other aspects with the gastrointestinal health and the structure and function. So let's make sure that we keep the inside clean. And that relates now to my topic for this section and this month's clinical review. I'm going to talk about the preventive and therapeutic use of probiotic supplements, probiotics. Now, to ensure that your intestines are well stocked with friendly lactic bacteria is an important determinant of inner hygiene, immune function, and total body health. These good bacteria, these friendly bacteria, prevent the over-colonization of many pathogenic bacteria and contribute to a stable and functional inner ecology. Disturbance of this garden within, this inner garden, is more common than not. A lot of people are lacking friendly bacteria, especially with the abundance of antibiotics athletes are frequently exposed to through the consumption of commercial dairy products and tissue proteins such as commercial feedlot, chicken, turkey, beef, and pork. So all of these things produced commercially are going to represent a source of antibiotics, and we're at the top of the food chain. So when we consume them, we incorporate everything that's in them. Although prescription antibiotics save lives, their habitual overuse and dependency depletes friendly microflora, and this leads to adaptation and a form of pathogenic bacterial resistance. Now, probiotic bacteria, the good guys, they keep the resident intestinal pathogens in check. That's why they're important to be there. If we knock them out, we're going to get in trouble. But this is provided the ratio of friendly to unfriendly is managed in favor of the good guys, such as Lactobacillus acidophilus and Lactobacillus bifidus. These are technical terms and names we're not too familiar with, but there's a whole range of probiotics with these strange-sounding names. And when you go into a health food store and look at the bottles, you're going to see some pretty weird terminologies listed on the label, but you just need to know that there are tens of billions of these things that inhabit our bodies and that friendly bacteria are absolutely essential. The microbiological flora of the gut can be influenced by the daily consumption of fermented foods, plain yogurt with live active culture or a probiotic supplement. I like to do both. Make sure that your yogurt, if you're eating it for a source of probiotics, actually has live bacteria. Friendly bacteria influence cholesterol synthesis and help prevent its excessive accumulation in blood. They also produce certain necessary digestive enzymes, control pH balance in the intestines, reduce toxic bacteria, reduce high blood pressure, detoxify poisonous material in the diet, and manufacture several B-complex vitamins and vitamin K. So these things are very important to health. Friendly bacteria help digest proteins, carbs, and fats, produce natural antibiotics instead of the synthetic form that we take from the doctor that are often very toxic long-term or very strong. These natural antibiotics produced by the friendly bacteria, they can really interact with dozens of microorganisms, detoxify hazardous chemicals added to foods, including nitrates, increase calcium assimilation, help eliminate bad breath and gas, and they can produce cancer or tumor-suppressing compounds. They're very effective for candida overgrowth. You know, if you have candidiasis or an overproduction of yeast inside, they're always recommended. And not just women, but men can take acidophilus or probiotics to reduce the incidence of yeast infection and retard the frequency of infections in general, including flus or herpes. Now, the culprits you've really got to keep an eye on include the prescription drugs, especially antibiotics. Alcohol, including beer and wine, they're notorious for their connection to an overabundance or growth of yeast inside the gut. Pre-ground rancid coffee, commercial meat, birth control pills, bread, sugar, high glycemic refined carbs feed the pathogenic bacteria. And that's when we get into trouble. Let's say we drink and wipe out the friendly bacteria, consume a bunch of refined carbs, it feeds the unfriendly bacteria, then we get into trouble. Now, the trouble, if it's long-term, is quite serious. Chlorine in water destroys protective acidophilus, which nourishes the gut and affects immune cell operation. The Western diet and heavy dependency on prescription drugs for pain management and chronic autoimmune conditions basically wipes out billions of beneficial intestinal bacteria while fostering the proliferation of unfriendly bacteria. Most strength athletes and bodybuilders are highly carnivorous. Therefore, it's a good idea to supplement with a probiotic mix on a regular basis. So, you're bringing in these antibiotics from the meat, you better counter them with a good probiotic supplement. Good health depends on having a balanced intestinal flora. Many people try to implant the healthy bacteria by taking acidophilus in various forms, but sometimes fail in their efforts for one of two reasons. Number one, successful implantation cannot occur until the intestines are thoroughly cleaned out with a good bowel cleanse, since harmful bacteria that dominate the GI environment will prevent reintegration. And two, implantation in humans is difficult because most L-acidophilus on the market is derived from a strain of non-human animal bacteria, typically from cow's milk. And I think that it's important to know that we want to find a human strain, although it may assist human digestion because of its similarity to the human lactobacteria. Non-human acidophilus culture must be constantly fed or replenished because it is not an exact duplicate of the human strain required, and it dies out easily. So DDS1, this human strain of L. acidophilus, was developed at the University of Nebraska. It's very reliable when you're shopping for acidophilus, the DDS1, you can Google that. As well as what we like to use is the Kyodophilus by Wakanaga. That's a Japanese company that produces the garlic that we love. But they have a wonderful heat-stabilized acidophilus mix that we carry with us and travel with. And both of these have been proven through research, and they use them in hospitals, and there's some good data to support their application. So I especially like to carry the heat-stable probiotics because some of them require refrigeration. You take them from the fridge in the health food store and put them in your own fridge, but there's a heat-stable form. Some of them are better than others, but we find that the Kyodophilus is our preference, and especially when you're traveling to places that are humid and hot, like Mexico or Peru or India, or anywhere where you can't drink the water, I think probiotics are absolutely a must, especially for the world travelers and just nowadays, because you can't trust the food or the water in many cases, depending upon where you're traveling to. Now, to improve the potency and function of any probiotic supplement, a prebiotic mix of short-chain polysaccharides called fructo-oligosaccharides, or FOS, they're sometimes added to the mix. So you could look for this. That's what I prefer often, is a probiotic with a prebiotic, and that's added to feed the friendly bacteria so they can proliferate. FOS acts as a fuel source for friendly bacteria, such as bifidus or lactobacillus. So by increasing their population in the gut, FOS, they actually help to reduce the colonization and overgrowth of detrimental bacteria, such as E. coli, Salmonella, or Clostridia. FOS also suppresses the putrefaction of various foods, especially meat, and helps prevent elevations in blood sugar. So there's some good data on the relationship of FOS or prebiotics to probiotics, and they work in conjunction to achieve the objective that you have in mind, maybe to recolonize the gut with friendly bacteria and get rid of those symptoms that are ugly from the gut. Now, I also want to talk about the 12-week 4R program developed by Dr. Jeffrey Bland. He is who narrates FMU, and he is who I learned this from. This is an excellent health program that incorporates probiotics as a wonderful healing and restorative agent. 4R stands for four unique but related steps. The four steps are remove, replace, reinoculate, and repair. The third step, or the reinoculation phase, where friendly bacteria are emphasized and used therapeutically. In the first phase, or remove phase, allergy-producing foods and exposure to toxic chemicals and toxic metals are eliminated. The diet is clean and alkaline with low allergy potential. So this is what you start with, phase one. Now, phase two, or the second phase, is the replace. So digestive aids such as digestive enzymes or betaine hydrochloride are introduced with meals. To improve digestion, we actually add digestive aids. The third phase, or the reinoculation phase, as mentioned, that's when we bring in these probiotics combined with prebiotics to establish a more healthful environment inside the GI tract and bowel. And finally, in the fourth phase, or repair phase, specific supplements are utilized, including L-glutamine, pentothenic acid, zinc citrate, omega-3, EPA fish oil, vitamin E, and the amino acid glycine. So all in all, this program, the 4R program, is an excellent regenerating program when there's a history of bowel damage, colon damage. Anybody with any of these gastrointestinal diseases could often really benefit from this program. So jeffreybland.com, you can get to Dr. Bland's website, and then, or just plug in the 4R program and read an article on it for more details. Now, finally, there's another form of probiotic supplement that I know of and I wrote about in the CSNA education program, these homeostatic soil organisms, and they can help restore balance to an auto-intoxicated gastrointestinal tract. So there are different products out there. By attaching themselves to the intestinal mucosa, homeostatic soil organisms form colonies in areas previously dominated by harmful bacteria and other pathological microorganisms, including parasites, yeasts, molds, fungus, viruses, and protozoa. These pathogens are crowded out or consumed by homeostatic soil organisms, and eventually symptoms of illness or gastrointestinal distress are eliminated. So I think it's a good idea to consider using probiotics as a staple. We like to take our probiotics in the evening before we go to bed, with our melatonin and our calcium and our sedative calming herbs. You can take them throughout the day. Some of them recommend that you take them with meals, before meals, after meals. There's different forms. There's capsules, there's chewable tablets, there's powder. You can actually add the powder into a shake. And in fact, one of the products we use, the Vega Complete Whole Food Meal Replacement with the hemp and the pea protein, it's got added probiotics and prebiotics. And so that's another way that we incorporate these friendly bacteria. You've got to keep them up because there's a lot of factors that are going to tear them down. And if you lose that beautiful balance inside your gut, inside your colon or intestinal tract, you're definitely going to get into trouble. And so one of the symptoms is just chronic problems related to the bowel. And these symptoms are often what start the ball rolling in the wrong direction. And so if you can get onto a good probiotic supplement, maybe a couple of capsules a day as a maintenance, and sometimes a lot more if you want to re-inoculate the environment, then consider that and have a look at the variety that are in your health food store. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from writer and author Lou Erickson. Gardening requires lots of water, most of it in the form of perspiration.